This is the Travel World Radio Network.
And welcome back once again to the Travel World Radio Show across America and around the world. I'm Willem Backus in studio with Stephen Pickford on a very, very special show today.
Having a lot of fun discovering a variety of destinations around the world. And I've been intrigued by Qatar ever since I had lunch earlier this year with the CEO of Qatar Airways, Akbar El Baker. And he came up with a number of very interesting ideas on promoting both his airline and the destination. And we're going to learn a little bit more about Qatar right now from Diana Untermeyer. She lived in Doha, Qatar from 2004 to 2007 while her husband Chase served as U.S. ambassador. And she has a book coming out soon, Qatar, Sand, Sea, and Sky. She joins us on the line now from Houston. Welcome to Travel World, Diana.
Thank you very much. Glad to be with you.
Well, glad you could join us. Now, tell us a little bit more about your time in Qatar and what our listeners might be in store for if they take one of those stopovers connecting through Qatar.
Well, I think what they'd find in Qatar is a very vibrant, modern country with this sort of wonderful preservation of its traditions. So you have every modern convenience, but also the ability to, say, if you had even just a six-hour layover one evening, you could go to the Souq Wagaf and be in this wonderful traditional architectural environment with camel and horse patrols coming through and expats and Qataris and their flowing robes coming by and the prayer call sounding over it all. So it's just this very sort of vibrant and romantic place to be.
A destination that has modernized itself but also kept a great deal of its culture and history intact.
Yes, absolutely. And also tried to look forward how they can take some of their sort of patrimony in a larger sense, such as the Islamic art, which is really, even now with the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York, just opening their new galleries that they've been renovating for the last, I don't know, 5 or 6 years. But Doha itself has this phenomenal new museum designed by Chinese-American architect I.M. Pei that is opened with a just stunning collection, and they're also making an effort to do a lot of great temporary exhibitions, both focusing on Arab artists and international artists. So it's just this very exciting place to be.
And it's a destination that puts forth an aura of hospitality and is very welcoming and safe for the American and Canadian visitor.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, my daughter, who was there when she was between 11 and 14 and goes back regularly, she always, when we were moving back to America, she says, you know, the strange thing is that people always say, oh, you're in the Middle East, you have to be really careful. And she says, in fact, she feels a lot safer in Doha than she does in any American city.
Well, I could probably attest to that, too. I mean, there's some pretty scary places in America, so often... Often we get that impression, oh, we go to the Middle East, or we go to Africa, or we go to some countries, and those countries are much safer than areas in our own back door.
Not Detroit.
Yeah, don't. That can be a little scary. Well, Doha, you know, it's not only that it's safe, but it's just welcoming. I mean, it is such a common story for, you know, tourists or expats to say they were, you know, left their hotel and were just walking down the corniche in their business suit, thinking they, you know, beautiful morning, they'd walk to their meeting or something and have a Qatari pull over and ask them if they needed a ride. And this is just not one person. I mean, this happens regularly. And, you know, they go out of their way to take you, or say they're having a wedding, which for the men are usually celebrated out in, you know, big open tents in a open part of the desert, maybe an empty lot in the middle of the city. And if you just wandered in, they would just, you know, pour you a cup of gahwa, which is the sort of local spiced Arabian coffee, and never ask why you've shown up. Just, it's, you're welcome and come on in. In fact, one of my favorite stories about my husband was when the heir apparent was married, all the tribes were celebrating, and he was invited by one particular tribe to come to their celebration. Well, his motorcade pulled up, and, you know, all the tribal leaders came out, and they were doing the celebratory sword dancing, and he starts dancing this and that and the other. And well, then it turned out, as his driver was getting calls from this other tribe, that they had showed up at the wrong tribal celebration. But he was welcome at this one and then went on to another couple. But, you know,
well, if he shows up at both, then he's not playing any sides and he's being very diplomatic. That's what an ambassador is supposed to do.
Exactly. And we really went everywhere. I mean, one thing, I'm a horse. I do a lot with the horses, and I think that allowed us to get into the community in a much deeper way than really any expat does, but particularly an American ambassador who was really, you know, probably one of the leading diplomats in the country just because of the strength of our relationship with Qatar. But because I was out in the desert riding with a bunch of teenage guys, and they'd go home and tell their moms or their sisters, oh, you've really got to meet, you know, Diana. I mean, that's what everybody called me, not anything else, just Diana. So all of a sudden I was in with these families and from really every economic level. I also did a lot with the environment. So we'd take here came the American ambassador out pulling trash out of you know, scorpion-infested brush.
No.
Yeah, well, I was organizing a desert cleanup, you know, in the traditional, you know, Americans love to do volunteer work, and desert cleanup seemed to be something I was very interested in.
Oh, you're braver than I am. Scorpions? I'm afraid of creepy crawlies. I admit it, I'm a chicken.
Yeah, well, I don't much like them, but you know, we gave him a little stick, and he could poke around with that.
Well, you're a braver person than I. One thing that intrigued me on what you said, particularly, was, you know, first of all, your involvement with horses, which is something which is almost a unifying thing when you find a common interest like that. But it's the way you connected with the people on a very human level. You know, you take away the labels and what have you, and I found that with my own international travels. People essentially want the same things out of life, a little bit of happiness and connection with a fellow human being. And that's what's actually particularly reaching me with what you're saying.
Yes, I do think that's true. And, of course, that's a particularly important message across the divide of the U.S. And Islamic world, really. And that's a particularly poignant message because, you know, Islamic has become not always a positive word or adjective, when in fact it describes a huge population of the most engaging, talented people of every variety. And so it's important to get past labels and just person to person, and that is very, very easy to do in Qatar because they're just, very... the word you used, hospitable. I mean, hospitable is part of the Arab culture, and and within the Gulf, Qataris are known to be one of the more hospitable people. So it's just a delightful place to go. And I mean, I love the idea. You know, I do have friends who say, or they call me and they say, okay, we're going to have 12 hours in Doha, and what do we do? And I said, well, you know. Easy, you know, you start with the Museum of Islamic Art, and all these things are on the Corniche, so literally 10 minutes from the airport. So if you're doing a layover at the airport, you can just take a taxi down to the Museum of Islamic Art, and then you cross the street to Souq Waqf, which has been rebuilt in the traditional style, but it is still a truly working market. I mean, there are people out there buying their lawn hoses and fishing nets and spices, along with some of the more touristy things in the restaurants as well. And then, you know, you can just go a little further down the coast and do a wonderful walk on the beautiful Corniche and maybe take in a cultural show. Very often they're amazing musicians playing in Souq Waqf. So it's just lots of fun, even on a very short stay over.
You really have to get away from the airport and get out and enjoy, even for a few hours or a night or a stopover, how that all blends together, the sand, the desert, the sea, the sky, because of the trading patterns of the Arabian Gulf and Qatar as a major trading nation. Diana Untermeyer has her book coming out soon. It is Qatar Sand, Sea, and Sky, coming out in the next month or so. Great Christmas gift. Looking at some of the advanced pictures here and some of the sights and some of the pictures really enticed me to go to Qatar, and I'll have to get back on the line there with Akbar and get on a flight and enjoy the hospitality of the Qatari people.
Absolutely. Yeah, Akbar will welcome you with open arms.
Oh,
I believe it. Very hospitable people. Thanks for joining us on the Travel World Radio Show today, and we're looking forward to the upcoming release of your book.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And Masalama.
We're coming up on a break on the Travel World Radio Show. Following the break, we're going to be back with Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. Stay tuned.
Listening to Travel World with Willem and Steve.
Travel World Radio Show by satellite.
Vacation time can mean a heartrending decision. What to do with your pet? Auberge VIP offers a unique concept in boarding facilities designed for the ultimate comfort of your best friends. From the moment of registration, a trained staff member is assigned to provide personalized attention to your pet. A variety of suite sizes are available for our canine guests, designed to provide privacy while cats enjoy a choice of multi-level apartments with a sunny southern exposure. Your pet's personal program can be tailor-made, from special diets to daily grooming and a play and exercise time each day. And it's not just luxury amenities which sets Auberge VIP apart. Auberge VIP provides for a totally enclosed environment, offering safe, sanitary conditions with personnel on duty 24 hours a day and a veterinarian on call. Auberge VIP, we invite you to call us to visit our facility and experience firsthand the care and special attention your pet deserves. Auberge VIP, a comfortable and caring atmosphere for your very important pet. Call today, 381-6653.
DiCapua's Photography. Quality professional photography services for all occasions. Let DiCapua's put their 20 years of industry experience to work for you. Entertainers and models, commercial, industrial, and aerial photography. Portfolios and portraits. People, places, or things, studio or on location. Your satisfaction is the focus at DiCapua's Photography. Stop in at 913 East 2nd Street, Reno, Nevada, or visit our webpage and sample our work at nav.to/DiCapua. That's DECAPUA. Call Gary at DiCapua's Photography to plan your special occasion or business photos. 329-8810. 329-8810. Capture that special moment that will last you a lifetime. DiCapua's Photography. 329-8810. You'll like what we see.
Feel the warmth the instant you step aboard the airline that takes you to more of Mexico, Latin America, and beyond. Mexicana Airlines. Whether you experience a new level of service in our executive or tourist class, whether you're traveling on business or pleasure, you'll enjoy a choice of hot entrees, open bar, and legroom to spare, all at the lowest possible fares. Come, fly with us in a world of style like no other. At Mexicana Airlines, we think the world of you.
Mexicana Airlines, amazingly close to Mexico and Latin America, with over 40 destinations to offer you in Mexico, Central and South America, and the Caribbean. Whether it's a quick getaway or an extended vacation, let Mexicana help you plan your dream vacation. Enjoy the excellent in-flight service and outstanding on-time performance. Call toll-free from the United States and Canada, 1-800-531-7921, or contact your local travel agent. Also, visit our website at Mexicana.com.
Do you have trouble remembering things lately? Normally, there are a major amount of fat cells in your head, causing difficulty in oxygen reaching your brain. As we age, this condition worsens, causing memory loss, dementia, and worse. Memory loss is not random, accidental, or inevitable. It is reversible if treated properly. The all-natural, safe, ultra-memory is a result of research conducted at Harvard and leading universities. Studies show that the herb ginkgo can dramatically slow the effects of aging on memory and even improve memory function in healthy young people as well. Ultra-memory contains ginkgo in easy-to-take capsule form. Ultra-memory will help you live a full, functioning life. Find out why leading researchers call ultra-memory brain tonic. To try ultra-memory risk-free, call 1-800-952-3494. Call now and save an additional 20%. 1-800-952-3494. That's 1-800-952-3494.
This is the Travel World Radio Network.
And welcome back once again to the Travel World Radio Show across America and around the world. I'm Willem Backus in studio with Stephen Pickford, and we got a very, very special and interesting topic, something I've been looking forward to this for a long time, Steve. Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. Have you ever heard of it?
I've heard of it, but never been.
Who really knows and understands Pigeon Forge, Tennessee? And when you say, well, have you heard of Dolly Parton? Now, that's the most famous association that you're going to make about Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. Why? Because Dolly Parton, who's from Tennessee, decided that she was going to buy a theme park, that's Dollywood, and it's not all about her. It's a really great theme park. We've got a special guest going to talk about this in a few seconds, but what she's done is she bought it to essentially give jobs and create employment and create tourism and do something special for people. When I read that, when I heard about it for the first time, I thought, you know what, one more reason to really love this woman, because not only does she produce beautiful music, but she's doing something special, giving back
to the community,
to where she's from. And that, you know, I love stories of redemption. I love stories about renaissance, about people who are doing stuff. We've had this recurring theme on the show about places that are really doing well for themselves. And Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, this is just outside of Knoxville, right near the north, well, right near the North Carolina border, Great Smoky Mountains and so on.
Beautiful area of the country.
Unbelievably gorgeous area, and you know, we're going to be visiting there soon. But what I find particularly interesting is that they're doing so much. It's not just Dollywood. They got Titanic. Anyway, we've got special guest Leon Downey, who's the executive director of the Pigeon Forge, Tennessee Tourism Bureau. And Leon, that would be your cue. Welcome to the Travel World Radio Show.
Well, thank you very much for having me on, Willem. Love talking about Pigeon Forge and the Smoky Mountains, and it's an honor to speak with you and your listeners.
Well, we're glad to have you on board, because when I first read about all the things available in Pigeon Forge, I'm thinking, how come the whole world doesn't know about this? It's one of the most carefully guarded secrets, and we're going to have to get the word out on Travel World.
Well, we appreciate the help.
So tell us a little bit more. I mean, I do know, I mean, we have also Tom Atkinson, who's helping guide
sure.
me through the whole journey of what's available in Pigeon Forge. And, you know, when we went beyond the whole Dollywood and the Smoky Mountains, and don't get me wrong, this is enough to go visit the place. I mean, Smoky Mountains, part of the Appalachian chain, and I had the privilege of driving through West Virginia, which is the, you know, a little bit north of there, and discovered just how beautiful these mountains are. And I'm dying to see the Appalachians by, you know, the Great Smoky Mountains, you know, right
yeah.
by Pigeon Forge. So, but you know, you got so many other things, and there's one special thing. Now you think about it, you know, we went down a couple of years ago, we went to Chattanooga, we went to Opryland. Tom Atkinson was involved with Opryland for a while over in Nashville.
Sure.
And I saw, you know, the Christmas spectacular, and just the way Christmas is done in the South. And I'm just sitting there, you know, my mouth is watering, my appetite is wet. I gotta see this. And how can you go one better than this? Well, Pigeon Forge, Tennessee has this thing called Winterfest. So can you tell us a little bit about that? Because that's not just Christmas. That's the whole season long. We want to have fun the whole time.
Exactly. Well, Winterfest was created 22 years ago by the three cities, Pigeon Forge, Gallenberg, and Sevierville, which are right there within, you know, Sevierville and Pigeon Forge to join each other on the northern borders. And Gallenberg is 5 miles to the south. So 22 years ago, we decided that we needed to create an event to bring activity into the communities because At the end of October, when the fall foliage was off the trees and Dollywood closed, basically Pigeon Forge and all of Sevier County became ghost towns. And I tell people all the time when I welcome them that business was so slow that we turned our traffic lights on blink. And it's a true story. It was really difficult to find places to eat. Pigeon Forge is primarily a tourism destination. Our entire industry is tourism. So because Dollywood closed and leaves fell off the trees, a lot of our hotels and motels and our restaurants, just the owners would close up and move to Florida for 6 months. So we tried to come up with an idea to bring activity, business activity, back into the community, and we came up with the idea of a major winter lighting program. And the three cities decided that it was a great way to do that. And we went to Dollywood and approached them with the idea of creating this major winter lighting program, and they liked the idea and agreed to extend their season through the end of December. And basically, the rest is history. The three cities, and that's what Dollywood wanted, the three cities to work together. We realized that by the three cities working together, we could have a much greater impact than one city could on its own. So we envisioned the emblem, or the thing that we wanted everybody to recognize about our Winterfest, were the lighted winter snowflakes. And we envisioned from Interstate 40 all the way through to the Great Smoky Mountains National Park that someday there would be lighted snowflakes.
Cool.
That has come to pass after 22 years. And Pigeon Forge now puts up over 5 million winter lights inside the city of Pigeon Forge. Dollywood puts up over 4 million lights. Sevierville probably puts up a couple of million lights, and Gatlinburg probably puts up in the neighborhood. So it's become a winter wonderland over 22 years. It didn't happen overnight. It happened gradually, but now it's
something to see. It's a spectacular.
It's a winter wonderland. I don't know how else to describe it, with all the lighting programs. And the other thing that, of course, makes it special is that we have lots of holiday shows. All of our theaters have a holiday show, and then the shopping. And, it's just it's a magical time to be there. It's turned into a major season for us. It's in my opinion, the most successful thing we've ever done in Sevier County.
Oh, I'm looking forward. Now, you say only till the end of December. Does it last all winter long, exactly?
Well, the Dollywood stays open till the end of December. But, yes, we have, in Pigeon Forge, we have activities, monthly activities, things. In January, we have a major event called Wilderness Wildlife Week, which is, again, 22 years old. And it's a city-sponsored event that promotes the Great Smoky Mountains National Park. We have more than 150 experts that offer seminars and classes and workshops on topics ranging from bears to fly fishing in the Smokies, photography. There's everyday hikes, probably 10 or 12 hikes that go out even in January. And the thing that really makes this event unique is that all the activities are free. So a lot of the park personnel who work in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park are providing sessions there. So it's the activities slow down a little bit in January, but we still have our shows open on weekends, still have plenty of shopping. So and the Wilderness Wildlife event has turned into a huge, it's a one-of-a-kind type event, actually.
And we're going to be talking about food after the break, but because there's one thing I love about the South, and I love about the South, and that's the food you can get.
Well, always great food in the South, boy.
I've never gotten wrong, with the food in the South. And we're going to get to that. Now, the thing is just how accessible Pigeon Forge is, because, here I am, and, I originally grew up in Canada and living now in Virginia, and I'm thinking to myself, this is really close by. Anybody can get here. I mean, you know, if you're in Mississippi, or if you're in Georgia, if you're in the Carolinas, I mean, heck, it's so fast and easy. Kentucky, you can easily make your way down to Pigeon Forge.
We're very accessible. You're exactly right, Willem. We're within a day's drive of two-thirds of the U.S. population east of the Mississippi River. We have excellent interstate access with Interstate 75, which is a north-south corridor, Interstate 40, and I-81 coming out of the northeastern part of the United States. So it's very easy to get to us, and most of the visitors who do visit us individually come in on their own private automobiles. So it's basically a driving destination primarily.
It's a great driving destination, and those who want to fly, you fly into Knoxville, and it's a very fast drive from Knoxville, which is south of actually the city of Knoxville, and that'll take you straight into Pigeon Forge. And there's things that I just need to get into about the cabins and the Smoky Mountains. I mean, you know, Tom, you know, we're talking on the phone rather casually about it, and Tom's great at selling the air. I got to love that guy. Any place who has him has got a real asset. But I'll tell you something, though. I took a look at these cabins, and I'm thinking, good Lord, man, this is some of the most spectacular stuff I've ever seen is the cabins available in the Smoky Mountains.
They're absolutely beautiful. We love, and that's another reason why people like to come in the winter season. They love having a log home with a fireplace and a jacuzzi. It's something about being in the mountains in the wintertime with the, in a log home. It says you're in the mountains, you know, to people.
Now, tell me a little bit about snow. I mean, living in Virginia right now, one of the things I like about it, having been from Canada, and I know it's unusual for a Canadian to hate snow, but I love Virginia because there ain't no snow.
And, right.
You know, maybe for, except for once a year, and then I can close my eyes and pretend it's not there if I really think hard enough. But is there snow in Pigeon Forge? Because altitude makes a huge difference.
Sure. Our elevation in the city of Pigeon Forge is only 1,800 feet above sea level, but we have Great Smoky Mountains National Park, which is in our backyard 5 miles away, and the peaks there are over 6,000 feet. And even today, they're in the high mountains. There's snow in the higher mountains, but there's no snow in Pigeon Forge, so we're blessed. Because the mountains catch a lot of the snow and keep most of it off of the parkway in Pigeon Forge. We do have, we might have 3 inches of snow at one time, but it's never on the ground for any length of time because our temperatures are so moderate here.
The best of both worlds. Tom, stay tuned for the break coming up in just a few seconds. Tom Leon from Pigeon Forge. So stay tuned. Following the break, we're going to come back, talk about the food in beautiful Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. Stay tuned.
Travel World will continue. Stay listening. Travel World Radio by satellite.
Get a good night's sleep and still arrive on time for that important business meeting. Via Rail Canada's Constellation Class overnight service between Toronto and Montreal. Your hotel on rails. Via Rail will rock you to sleep in the privacy and comfort of your own bedroom. Next morning, arrive refreshed and relaxed. And breakfast is included, so you're downtown and you're ready to go. Aboard Via Rail Canada. People moving people. Visit us at viarail.ca.
Mutual Federal. Giving peace of mind. We'll always be the bank of choice and stand the test of time. Mutual
Before heading off on your next trip, head off to Jet Setter. Jet Setter is Montreal's travel accessory center with the largest selection of travel accessories in Eastern Canada. Everything that you could possibly want relating to travel, all in one location. Money belts, water purifiers, miniature binoculars, travel irons, guidebooks, and maps. Plus converters and adapters for all your electrical needs, including computers. What's more, you'll find every imaginable kind of rolling luggage, including duffel bags, knapsacks, and travel packs from such name brands as Tumi, Travel Pro, Skyway, Loose Sport Sack, Kipling, Timberland, Eagle Creek, Briggs & Riley, and more. At Jet Setter, I found you don't pay more for quality and personal service. In fact, you'll save with Jet Setter, and GST is included in every price you see. Jet Setter, Montreal's Travel Accessory Center, 66 Laurier West between Clark and Cedar Van. Telephone 271-5058.
Language is destiny. Every time you speak, read, or write, you expose the limits of your language. The words you think influence your actions. The words you use are always judged. The words you understand reveal what you know and what you don't know. Now with the Vocabulary Dynamics program, you can take charge of your verbal destiny. Easily master a world-class vocabulary, exude confidence and command of the English language, and expand your understanding of thousands of new words. And all you have to do is just listen. Developed by Scott Bornstein, international expert in language learning, memory know-how, and test preparation, Vocabulary Dynamics will unlock your genius for language and word use so you'll never be at a loss for words again. If you call now, Scott will drop the price by almost 40%. Call 1-888-813-7974 toll-free right now. 1-888-813-7974 for the Vocabulary Dynamics Program. 1-888-813-7974.
I can read. Three little words parents and grandparents long to hear. I can read. The key that unlocks a lifetime of opportunity. I can read. The road to independence, pride, and self-discovery. Every day, thousands of children struggle needlessly. Every day, reading remains the goal, not the reality.
If you're looking for a powerful but simple-to-use home study program that goes beyond a game that hooks children on reading, you want Get Ready, Get Set, Read. Developed by a team of leading educational learning and reading specialists, the Get Ready, Get Set, and Read program guides, inspires, and integrates the best approaches for maximum success and reading results. Make a difference. Call toll-free 1-888-813-7975. Mention the station for a 40% discount. Get Ready, Get Set, Read has an unconditional 30-day money-back guarantee. Call 1-888-813-7975. 1-888-813-7975. Call today.
Across America via satellite, this is the Travel World Radio Network.
And welcome back once again to the Travel World Radio Show across America and around the world. Having a very special guest online, Leon Downey, who's the executive director of the Pigeon Forge, Tennessee Department of Tourism. We're talking about Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, and if you've never heard of Pigeon Forge, well, you're in for a real treat, my friends, because not only is it a great place for, well, it's a tourism destination, absolutely, and you go there to have an awful lot of fun. And if you don't like snow, like me, and I know I'm the oddball in the world, well, Pigeon Forge doesn't have a lot, even during its Winterfest festival, but we've got the Great Smoky Mountains, and there's all the snow you could possibly want up there. So it's something for everybody when you go there. But one thing which really, really intrigues me, we're going to talk about Dollywood, and we're going to talk about the Eagle Aviary that's there. I mean, whatever we can squeeze into this teeny little segment, because we're going to have Leon on a little bit more. And we're going to talk about food, because they've got some really great theme restaurants. Outside of the ordinarily super delicious and typically great Southern food, and I love food of the South, tell me, but they have two specific events, because they have the Winter Spectacular, but the winter the theatrical events that they have, which are food-related, something called the Lumberjack Feud and also the Hatfield-McCoy Feud. So nice. We're going to get into that. Leon, welcome back to the show for this particular segment. And can you elaborate a little bit on the Hatfield-McCoy and also the Lumberjack Feud?
Sure. The latest show, Willem, that we have is it's a $10 million show, the Smoky Mountains Lumberjack Feud. It combines the traditions of lumbering in the Appalachian Mountains with the modern athletic or lumberjack athletic competition like you might see on ESPN. And this show, the Great Smoky Mountains Lumberjack Feud, opened in Pigeon Forge in August and is doing very well there. They have real timber athletes, as I say, that you would see on ESPN that are throwing axes, running chainsaws, doing log rolling, climbing 60-foot poles. And all of that's going on while you're having a meal that includes ribs, chicken, I'm trying to think what else, macaroni and cheese, baked beans, and then an apple, or I'm sorry, a strawberry dessert as well. So it's just all this activity that's going on, and why it's like the show is about two families feuding over timber rights, but the real show is the timber athletes who are performing while you're eating your meal.
Yeah, there. Like the rolling of the logs and sculptures and things.
Exactly.
That's cool stuff.
It's a high energy show. Most of our shows that we have in Pigeon Forge are regular theatrical type shows with lots of singing and dancing and comedy and things like this. But the theme at the Lumberjack show is that this ain't your average song and dance show.
Right.
So it's all about activities. And then the Hatfield and McCoy Dinner Feud is it's sort of a stunt show. It opened last spring. And it's a show that involves the famous Hatfield and McCoy families from the Midwest having a feud And while all of that activity is going on, of course, it's a dinner theater. You're seated in a theater seating and being fed while there's all this activity and good-natured rivalry and singing and dancing, musicians, dancers, actors, and lots of stunts going on. So it's another new show.
As I understand it, you walk into the place, and you'll be a Hatfield or you'll be a McCoy, depending on the door you walk into?
Exactly. And
that's cool.
Yeah, it's the same way with the Lumberjack feud. You go in and you become there's two different families there that supposedly are feuding as well, but it's two entirely different things. I mean, they're both dinner shows, you might say, but one is full of activities and one is more of a traditional music type show.
Well, that's kind of neat. So in both cases, you're going to go to a place and you're going to have yourself a really, really good time just because it's...
Exactly. And Dixie Stampede, that's another attraction that Dolly Parton has interest in that's been in Pigeon Forge since 19. So,
yeah, tell me about that Dixie Stampede, because I was pretty interested in that, and
it's the Dixie Stampede is another. It's a north against the south competition type thing. While you have all these activities going on in an arena that seats 1,100 people, you have lots of stunt riding on horses, and there's a lot of audience participation in the show as well. And it's an amazing food with a spring chicken. You get vegetable soup, corn on the cob. Mm. There's a piece of pork tenderloin, and then you have an apple turnover for dessert. And all the show is going on, and they serve your meal in courses there.
Oh,
so it's
just
a lot of fun. Hard to not be entertained there.
Now, turning a little bit away from food, and I really don't want to turn away from food because it's so darn good there. Two particular attractions really caught my eye, and one you wouldn't expect in a place like Pigeon Forge. You've recreated almost the entire front end, a replica of the actual Titanic, and it's a museum and it's a display.
Exactly. It's a $25 million attraction that's been open about a year and a half now. And it has four galleries. All the artifacts there, over 200 artifacts, are from either the debris field from the ship where it sank or from families who have donated all the items there. And when you board the ship, they give you a boarding pass that has information about a passenger who actually was on the ship and their background and their history and things.
Well,
and as you go through, basically, they tell the story of the Titanic through the people who were on the ship. And
that's
we get to the end of the tour, there's a memorial wall, and you find out at the end of that memorial wall whether you lived, whether your passenger lived, or whether you died.
Maybe I can find out in advance, and I'll give my sister the other one.
So sometimes, and I've been through it, I don't know how many times, sometimes you live, sometimes you die. But it really makes you realize what it was like to have been a passenger on that ship.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that.
Very realistic.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. That's awesome. Now, for people who love nature, of course, you've mentioned also the horses and stuff of the area, but the Eagle Aviary, that really intrigues me. Can you tell me about that? That's at Dollywood, right?
It is, yes. It's the National Foundation to Protect America's Eagles, and the National Foundation to Protect America's Eagles was created probably 15 years ago. I don't know exactly what the date was, but there was a point in time because of the pesticides that eagles were becoming very almost extinct here in the United States, and this group came together at Dollywood and was created. And now, a lot of times if you've been to a sporting event like the World Series or something like that, when the Eagle Challenger is flown, that bird is protected there at Dollywood. And they have an Eagle Aviary on the side of the hill there where non-releasable birds have been injured in some way and are not releasable. They put them into this Eagle Aviary, and then they allow them to mate, and then they hatch off birds that are never handled by hands and release back into the wild. So it's a
multi-purpose. It's not just a tourism attraction, but you're actually starting to help do some real good for the eagle population through the states.
Oh, yeah. You can walk right up to them and see these eagles. I mean, you've probably never been that close to an eagle in all your life. And the hillside is just, it's encased. It's a whole hillside that's encased in sort of a rope-type environment. But the eagles are there, and they're nesting in their nest. And you can, they're just probably 15 or 20 there that you could easily photograph and hear them and making that eerie sound that they make when they fly.
I can hardly wait till my trip to Pigeon Forge. Tom, that's the music in the background signaling the end of the show is coming soon. Any last-minute points that you want to bring forth before we close up this particular segment of Travel World?
I'm not aware of anything, Wilma. Again, Pigeon Forge is prime. It's just a tourism destination. We have 6,402 permanent residents, but on any given day, we have over 50,000 visitors in our city. So we're all about making our visitors welcome and making memories for a lifetime. That's what we're about in Pigeon Forge.
And where can we get more information, a telephone number, a website?
The best thing to do is to go to our website. It's mypigeonforge, PigeonForge.com. It's the complete information's there. It's the easiest way to find it there.
MyPigeonForge.com. Great site to look out for Pigeon Forge tourism information.
Pigeon Forge, the town of Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. Go there for a great time year-round, but especially the Winterfest coming up. I know I'm looking forward to it. And Leon Downey, Executive Director of the Town of Pigeon Forge, Tourism Bureau, Department of Tourism. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on. Look forward to having you down in December.
Absolutely. Thank you for joining us on the show.
Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Well, Steve, that's going to be one amazing
trip. Oh, you're looking
trip.
Forward to it. Yes, and I'm looking forward to hearing everything about it come true for you as you enjoy the true southern hospitality of Pigeon Forge, Tennessee.
It's Travel World Radio Show across America and around the world. Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. We're going to make it a destination. Thanks for joining us on another edition, and we're going to see you next time. Happy traveling, everybody.
This is the Travel World Radio Network.